Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, folks, last night we started a message from Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. We're continuing that message tonight, and I hope that it's an encouragement to you to give thanks to God, because He has certainly blessed us in Jesus Christ.
When we come to worship God, there is a sense in which we come empty-handed, but we ought to come with our hands raised. We ought to come offering Him praise and thanksgiving, telling Him how great He is, not because He needs to know it, but because we need to remember it. Because in the midst of whatever we're going through, we need to realize that God does not change. And He is at work in every situation for the good of those who love Him. That's His promise. And folks, His promises are sure. We can count on the fact that every circumstance, every trial, every difficulty is for our good. As one preacher said, things don't just happen to us, they happen for us. And he's right about that. This is for our good. The Apostle Paul suffered, but it was for good. And because he was there in that jail, having suffered injustice, having suffered torture, because he was there, he was able to save lives. And not just keeping a man from killing himself, but leading him to Jesus. That man and his whole family, who became Paul's precious brother and sister in Christ. That family became part of the core of the church in Philippi, to whom Paul is writing and saying, "I want you to rejoice knowing that my chains are actually being used for the spread of the gospel, and that's good, and I rejoice in that." And so he says to them as he concludes his letter, "Now, what you've heard and seen in me, you're supposed to put into practice. Rejoice in the Lord always." "Well, it's really tough. There's a lot of darkness out there." You know, I've found that I have a better attitude toward life if I don't watch a whole lot of TV, including news.
"Pastor Witt, I don't think we're supposed to just put our heads in the sand. We need to know what's going on out there."
Yeah, we do need to know what's going on out there. And I find a great place to understand what is going on out there is the Bible. Because if I just watch what the media wants me to know, I'm going to have a totally jaundiced perspective. And I'm going to see so many things that are so evil, that are so rotten, that are so despicable, it's going to make my blood boil. Then I go to the Word of God. And I read about some of the stuff that has been happening all throughout the history of mankind. And I realize, you know, people have always been stupid and nasty. They really have. The heart of man is deceitfully wicked above all else. Who can know it? This isn't something new. I'm just so concerned that we've just dumbed down our whole society. You know, they were pretty stupid in the 1800s. They really were. They were pretty stupid in the 1700s. Anybody who thinks that people today are smarter than people 100 years ago are not smart. Okay? Anybody who thinks that is just not a smart person. They don't know history. They don't read a lot of books. I would encourage you to understand that in every generation, man is desperately wicked and has no hope apart from the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the good news. The answer remains the same today for us. Because the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of those who believe, whether Jew or Gentile. All of us have the opportunity, as believers in Jesus Christ, to rejoice. Your circumstances don't have to be conducive to rejoicing. That has zero to do with it.
Say, well, I'm just not feeling it this morning. I'm sorry, I'm just not feeling it this morning.
Nobody's asking you to feel it. God is commanding you to do it. He's not just advising it. It's not simply a recommendation for those of you who'd like to have a better day. Okay, you can have your best life now. Come on, put a smile on that face. Turn that frown upside down. Come on. Feel the joy. You don't have to feel the joy. You just need to rejoice. Give thanks to God. And I'm telling you, that's not just describing what we're supposed to do when we come together here in church. Okay? We come to church and they lead us in songs of rejoicing, and that's helpful. It is helpful. But you're supposed to be doing that when you get up in the morning. I've told you before, I get out of bed onto my knees and begin my day by thanking God. I begin with thanksgiving. Why? Because He's worthy and He's been good to me. The fact that I'm alive and I'm His child is grace. That's entirely grace. I don't deserve that. If I got what I deserve, I would wake up in hell. But God has chosen in His sovereign grace to rescue me and pay the debt I owe and give me the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That kind of makes me want to do whatever He wants. Right? So, well, sometimes I just feel frustrated. Wow, really? Tell me about that. I can't imagine. I'd like to know more. Okay. We all feel that way sometimes. But we're told what to do regardless of how we feel. Rejoice in the Lord always. Want to get close to God? Memorize Psalm 100 and do what it says. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Draw close to God with praise and thanksgiving. As you praise Him, you draw close to Him. As you give Him thanks, you come near. You draw near to the Lord, He'll draw near to you. That's a promise. That's a promise.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. www.wearsvalleyranch.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So I plead with you, my brothers and sisters, regardless of how you're feeling and regardless of how your circumstances are, regardless of how it looks, praise the Lord. Rejoice in Him. Give Him thanks. So what should I be thankful for? Okay, let me go back to Psalm 100 for a moment. First of all, verse 3, know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. That says we not only rejoice because we know that God is the Creator. And is there anything in this world that you do like? Thank God for it. Do you enjoy the view out the window? I used to visit a lady in a nursing home in Massachusetts. And I asked the people who ran the place, put me with somebody who doesn't have any visitors. I want to visit some people who don't usually get visitors. Well, there was this woman whose bed was just inside a room that the door faced the front door of this place. It was like a big old manor house that these people were staying in. And she would lie in her bed looking at the front door, waiting for some relative to come and see her. And no one did, ever. Her family put her there and left, never came back. Day after day, she lay there on her side looking at the front door, waiting for somebody to come. So I became the somebody. And I would go to her room, and I would greet her, introduce myself, remind her again who I was, because she had memory issues. And I would try to get her to turn and look out the other side of her room where there was a great big picture window that overlooked a beautiful lawn with a great big tree. There were always birds out there, and there was actually water in the distance. And I would say, look at that beautiful view. Do you see the birds? It's beautiful. Look at the water out there. I would say that to her time after time, every time I went to see her. One day I came to see her and she was lying facing the window. And I walked around to the other side of the bed and I greeted her. And she said, oh, I'm so glad you're here. Look at that beautiful view. And she repeated all the phrases that I'd been using because it had finally put a new groove in her brain. And now, instead of looking and focusing on what she didn't have, she was focusing on what she did have. Well, that fits, by the way, with what Paul says in Philippians 4. We're going to go back to Psalm 100 here in a second. But in Philippians 4, Paul says, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, if there's anything virtuous, anything praiseworthy, think on these things. You can choose what you're going to focus on. You can see the smudge or you can see the view. Those are fingerprints on the glass, I think. Oh, change your attitude. Or get rid of your glasses, whatever it takes. Just look past the smudge and see the pasture. Don't look at what's wrong with the picture. That's just the way I'm wired. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just a person who likes for things to be the way they ought to be. Well, you are going to be miserable until you get to heaven, and I'm not sure you're going. Because God commands us to focus on what's right. We have got to focus on all the blessings He pours into our lives every day. And all of us have a lot to be thankful for. All of us. So, the next thing in Psalm 100. Not only is He the one who made us, the Lord, who is God, we are His. Did you hear that? We are His. We rejoice because of our relationship with the Creator. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. The reason we ought to be thanking Him and giving Him praise is because He has made us His very own. He not only created us, he has redeemed us. When we were his enemies, he rescued us. He brought us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. How can we not give thanks? I was like the rest, an object of wrath, headed for hell, and God made me alive in Christ Jesus. What's not to be thankful for? Everything else is temporary. This is eternal. This is going to last forever. Let's get our perspective lined up here and rejoice in the Lord. Always. Always. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. Okay, you don't like your food anymore. You're not so crazy about the view. Your bed's uncomfortable. Are you glad for the Lord's love? Then focus on the Lord's love. Focus on the fact that he loves you. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I'm going to cling to that, no matter what happens. No matter what happens. Because God has proved his love to me in Christ Jesus. Everything I need, I have in Christ. Anything I don't need, why would I get all bent out of shape about that?
So I really wanted this.
Yeah, but you don't need it.
Well, I thought I did.
Well, I guess you were wrong. I literally had a guy who came to me when I was in college, and he said, Jim, I'm afraid I'm not a Christian. I said, why? He said, because my Bible says, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And there's a lot of stuff I want, so does that mean the Lord isn't my shepherd? I said, no. You're talking about want like desire. You desire things. That's not what that word refers to in Psalm 23. It's the problem with people who don't know Old English and try and use King James. When it says, I shall not want, the idea is I will not lack that which I need. There will be lots of stuff that you desire that God will love you enough to say, no, I'm not going to give you that. When I was a kid, I desperately, desperately wanted the Secret Agent Man briefcase that I saw advertised on television. I used to love the Secret Agent Man television show. Only old people remember that show. But there are a few of you who are old enough to remember that show. Secret Agent Man, Secret Agent Man. He's given you a number, taken away your name. Oh, I wanted to be like that. So cool. And then the commercial came. You could be Secret Agent Man. And the Secret Agent Man attaché case had a little hole in the side of the plastic body through which you could pretend to take pictures with a fake camera. My goodness, times were simpler in the 1960s. Nowadays, kids are walking around with cell phones taking real pictures. Okay? I mean, I had to have one of those. I had to have it. I just wanted it so badly, but my father was a pastor of a small church and we didn't make much money. And there was no way to afford one of those. But I knew the secret of Christmas at our house, and that is that after Christmas, the stores have sales. And so I got my Christmas money and I went to the store to see about getting a marked down, but still new, Secret Agent Man briefcase. And I looked at it up close with the more mature eyes of one who had aged for weeks. And as I looked at it, I thought, to use a word my parents would use on occasion, this is cheesy. This is a piece of junk. It's not a real camera. It's not a real gun. It's not even a real briefcase. And what am I going to do? Put on a trench coat and hide behind fake plants in some downtown hotel? Hoping to take pictures in my mind of what? I mean, in the commercial it looked so cool. The boy is standing there, about 8 years old, behind a palm tree in some restaurant lobby or something, and he's pushing the little button, pretending to take photographs of people surreptitiously. Do you realize, please understand me, most of the stuff we're upset about not having in life is about like the secret agent man briefcase? It really is. But I wanted that house. Are you glad you have shelter? But I wanted that car. Do you realize it too would require oil changes, new tires, and insurance? Everything, all the stuff that the world says is so important. Here, look, look. It's all going away. It's all temporary. And we don't need any of it. We don't need any of it. If all of our stuff was gone tomorrow, and we still had our relationship with the Lord, which, by the way, His love will not let us go. What have we got to complain about? The letter to the Hebrews refers to people who joyfully accepted the confiscation of their belongings. Are we ready for that? If the government came and took it all away, could we rejoice? Or would we feel like, wait, that's my whatever. Doesn't matter. You cannot take it with you. It's all going away. Don't worry about it. Focus on the Lord. He is God. Rejoice in Him. What you lose here and now can't compare to what we gain in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in Him. Give Him praise. He's calling us to thanksgiving. Let your celebration this week be a time of worship. Enjoy the food, but thank Him not just for the delicious flavor, but for the fact that God invented taste buds. He gave us eyes to see and noses to smell and beautiful things to nourish us. God could have made it so it was all just acorns. I mean, He could have. But instead, He has filled our lives with good things. Rejoice and realize that every good thing we enjoy here and now from His gracious hand can't compare with what's coming. Can't compare with what lies ahead. That's how, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of death, we give thanks. The first national Thanksgiving holiday was proclaimed by Abraham Lincoln in 1863. Oh, 1863, that's when the country was enjoying peace and prosperity. No, that's when the country was torn apart by a war that pitted family members against each other and neighbor against neighbor and state against state. Bloodshed was everywhere. It was a disastrous time. And Abraham Lincoln said, you know, we need all of us to humble ourselves before God and give Him thanks. Thank Him for His blessings. I don't know what you're going through today, but I'll tell you this. We need to give thanks to God. Because whatever you're going through, it's temporary. And it's not worth comparing to the glory that awaits us.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.